Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Some have called the Passover week, which followed Palm Sunday, the most tumultuous and significant week in human history. From the elation of the crowd celebrating Jesus and calling for him to be their king on Palm Sunday, to the crowd gathered on Friday morning calling for a murderer, Barabbas, to be released to them, and then Jesus sent to Crucifixion Hill, those 4 days were filled with drama, rising tensions, and profound teaching from Jesus. Matthew gives us 5 full chapters recording what Jesus did and said in those days. Among other things, Matthew tells us Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, was evidently so disappointed Jesus was not becoming the king so many people hoped Jesus would be, that Judas went to meet with the Jerusalem religious leaders with a gut-wrenching question. What are you willing to give to me if I deliver him over to you? Matthew 26. There is no description of much discussion or negotiations. The chief priests brought a money bag with 30 pieces of silver and gave it to Judas, who from that time on looked for an opportunity to betray Jesus over to them. The amount of money paid is significant, for that is the price to be paid in damages for the death of a common, uneducated, untrained slave, according to Exodus chapter 21. That offer of 30 pieces of silver for the life of Jesus is a reflection of the low value those religious leaders placed on Jesus' life. What an insult! The fact that Judas accepted the silver is a picture of the work the dark kingdom was doing in his heart. Pause. Think about that for a moment. What value do you place on who Jesus is and what Jesus has accomplished for you and in you? Oh my, what a contrast of 30 simple coins as compared to the very expensive gifts the Magi brought to infant Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 2, or the pint of pure nard poured on Jesus' feet by Mary, according to John chapter 12, or the 75 pounds of spices Nicodemus and Joseph used to wrap Jesus' dead body, preparing to lay his body in the tomb, according to John 19. Dr. Luke tells us that Satan himself was working overtime in Judas' soul, leading Judas to betray Jesus, according to Luke chapter 22. The disciple John gives us a few details of those 4 days between Palm Sunday and Thursday, but John gives us 5 chapters of what happened in the upper room that Thursday evening Passover meal, and I'd like us to focus there for the next few days, seeking to understand what John experienced. John wants us to know Jesus was fully aware of everything happening, both visible and invisible. That's important as we remember Jesus is God the Son, sent by God the Father for a very specific world-changing mission. John writes, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and return to the Father. Having loved his own, who were in the world, Jesus now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come to earth from God and was returning to God, so Jesus got up from the table. John chapter 13, verse 1 to 4. I doubt any of us can even begin to imagine what Jesus was thinking or feeling deep in his soul. This Passover weekend was the reason for which Jesus had come to earth, God incarnate, born in a human in a Bethlehem stable. Did you notice that phrase, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power? Remember that, my friends, as we contemplate over these next several days. Everything, both visible and invisible, that was happening that week was fully known by Jesus, God the Son, as his earthly mission came to its climax. By invisible, what do you think John meant? Well, I think he meant what was going on inside the souls of Jesus' disciples and everyone else. I also think he meant what was happening in the angelic world all around him, especially the dark kingdom world of Satan and the demons who were very active in the events of those dreadful days in Jerusalem. During the next hours, that Thursday night and Friday morning, the redemptive plan, which God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had developed way back in eternity past, even before the creation of the world, that unique plan was now coming to accomplishment with Jesus in this upper room, beginning the Passover meal with his friends. But the dark kingdom was also at work, and while Jesus was fully aware of this profound spiritual battle raging, we should assume the disciples were oblivious. As Jesus got up from the table, I wonder what they thought. And when Jesus picked up a bowl and towel, while wrapping another towel around his waist, I'm sure they were stunned, speechless. Jesus was assuming the ultimate role of a slave, washing the disciples' feet as they began their meal together. Evidently, no arrangement had been made for those feet to be washed when they first arrived, but because they reclined at a table, clean feet were essential, especially for this Seder meal. May I invite us to watch closely as Jesus knelt in front of each man, took dirty feet into his hands, and washed them. Can you imagine what they thought and said to each other? This Jesus is God the Son, creator of the universe, now washing filthy feet. John mentions only Peter as objecting, but probably many others did also. When finished, Jesus put away the towels and basin and returned to his place at the table, saying, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." John 13. Oh my! Jesus was now entering into the deepest and most significant teaching with his disciples of his entire time on earth. What was Jesus challenging his disciples to learn from this unprecedented act of humility and service, washing their feet? Was Jesus suggesting feet washing should be part of Christian gatherings, especially worship services? Or was Jesus modeling the heart of humility, compassion, service, and even self-denial, which should be among the tangible, practical evidence of a genuine, Holy Spirit, born-again follower of Jesus Christ, no matter their age or marital status, gender or education, living anywhere in the world? And what other things have you learned from Jesus which should be tangible, practical evidence of our relationship with Jesus? And tomorrow, we'll meet again in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples for much more.